If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Well, we're going to talk about some of the non-believers related rules or jurisprudential status according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Before that, of course, we're going to take a listen to a short biography. Let's stay with us.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Well, Sheikh Javid, let's talk about the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei about the non-believers or kafir. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible for a Muslim man or a woman to marry a kafir, a non-believer?
Well, that is one of the issues and one of the questions frequently asked by Muslims living in the West. Mm-hmm. Because they wish they were able to marry, for example, a girl, a Christian girl or a Jewish, and you know, there are many Muslims who work with non-Muslims, and sometimes they develop a kind of liking for a non-Muslim and wish to know. Mm-hmm. Wish to know, yes, whether it's permissible or not to marry a Christian woman or not.
Yes.
So again, we have to, clarify one thing, and that is we should differentiate between the people of the book and the people who do not believe in any divinely revealed book, of course. So, generally speaking, it is not permissible for a Muslim woman,
yes,
a Muslim woman,
mm-hmm,
to marry a non-Muslim man under any circumstances, no matter what the excuse. Okay, but when it comes to a Muslim man who is willing to marry a non-Muslim woman, of course, if he is unmarried, and if he does not have a Muslim wife, then it is permissible for him to contract temporary marriage to a Muslim, to a Christian or a Jewish woman. Temporary marriage.
Uh-huh.
So only temporary marriage is allowed and permissible for a Muslim man who is unmarried and who is not already married, mm-hmm, to a Muslim woman. And of course, if he is married to a Muslim woman, then there is no doubt that he is not allowed to have a Muslim wife and a non-Muslim wife at the same time.
Uh-huh.
At the same time. And it will not be permissible. Now, when it comes to marrying a non-Muslim woman who does not believe in any divinely revealed book, of course, it's not permissible.
Under any circumstances.
Yeah, under any circumstances. Now, there are, for example, let's see, Shia Muslims who live in India.
Yes.
So they come across, women, and they want to know whether it's permissible to marry them or not. The religious authorities have stated that if you are very much willing to marry a Hindu woman, you should ask her to recite the two testimonies,
mm-hmm,
to take Shahada. And once she takes Shahada, then it's permissible for you to marry that woman. Because taking Shahada, that's enough.
Technically, okay, yeah, she becomes a Muslim, right?
A Muslim woman. She,
yes,
becomes a Muslim woman. Maybe she may not be sincere in her conversion to Islam.
Yes.
And she may not, in the heart of her, she may not be a Muslim, but since she has taken the Shahada, then that makes the marriage permissible. So that will be enough. Even if that woman is not going to be a practicing Muslim woman,
mm-hmm,
a practicing Muslim woman.
Are we talking about like permanent marriage or temporary marriage?
Both
here?
Permanent and temporary.
I see.
Yeah, both permanent and temporary. Because when she recites the two testimonies, then she becomes a Muslim woman. At least nominally,
mm-hmm,
she becomes a Muslim.
I see.
A woman, and though it is not, of course, she is not a practicing woman, and it's not advisable for a Muslim man to marry such a woman. But okay, if a man is bent on marrying such a woman,
mm-hmm,
because she, you know, maybe he has fallen in love with such a woman,
yes,
and she cannot forget about that woman, so he can marry her.
This is the way.
Provided that. So the very confession and the very testimony, or what we call Shahadatain,
mm-hmm,
if those two testimonies are recited,
these two phrases, these two expressions,
yeah,
are need to be recited, right?
Yes. So,
and should it be recited in front of, for example, a religious authority or something?
No,
or
no,
a religious scholar?
No, that's not a condition. You know, if a person takes shahada,
yes,
you see, in a closed room and in a, with no one seeing him, that's enough. Mm-hmm. Because only God knows the truth.
So he doesn't need any kind of witnesses?
No witnesses are required, yes.
I see.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, the host in this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws regarding the non-believers and non-Muslims. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question. You know, is someone who denies the clearly defined laws of Islam, if somebody does that, denies it, is he or she considered to be a non-Muslim?
A person who denies or rejects the clearly and conspicuous or unambiguous rules of Islam or doctrines of Islam or teachings of Islam, he is deemed to be a kafir. But such a person whose denial is tantamount to denying the Prophet of Islam, and he and rejecting the Prophet of Islam, is a non-Muslim, because he has his action and his denial has amounts to denial of the Prophet, and that's that just takes him out of the fold of Islam. He's no longer considered to be a Muslim, even if he might want to consider himself a Muslim.
Yes,
because he rejects something which is very clearly defined. It is acceptable to all Muslims, and it's well known that that is the teaching of the Prophet. For example, if someone says prayer is not wajib, or prayer, for example, let's say Hajj is not obligatory. While the Prophet, peace be upon him, on the other says Hajj is wajib and has tremendous reward, and the same zakat and all these are some of the main teachings of Islam.
Yes.
If someone, and even within the Hajj, within the prayer, if, for example, says that, okay, let's say we do believe that the Fajr prayer consists of two rakas of prayer. Now, everybody knows it. It's a clearly defined issue, a clearly defined, ruling. And in Arabic terminology, they call it zaruri. Zaruri means, clearly defined, ambiguous, conspicuous, and clear. So if a person...
What about somebody's denying the Quran?
So
is that considered to be...
Yeah, of course.
Yes, clearly defined law.
Because everybody, all Muslims believe that the Quran is the book of Allah, and it was revealed to the Prophet, and the Prophet... preached it among Muslims, and it's and the codes of conduct are derived from the Quran. Quran is the most important source for derivation and extraction of Islamic laws and practice and code of practice.
I see. What about the Khawarij and Nawasib?
Well, we have a number of so-called Muslims. They consider themselves to be Muslim, but they are not Muslims according to Shia scholars.
Yes.
And even today we have such people, the Khawarij, the Ghulat, Ghulat are the exaggerators. Those are the ones who consider the Imams, or especially Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, as God, as their deity. And the Khawarij are those, rigid and people who lived in the time of the Commander of Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and who fought him And the Nawasib, we have the Nawasib who are enemies to the Imams and to the mm-hmm. Holy Prophet, and they are the ones who clearly express enmity mm-hmm. towards the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Imams. So these are the enemies of the Prophet, and these are the enemies of the Imams, and they are kafir, okay. They are disbelievers.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Chavi. Thank you for listening to the program Islam Gloss on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. We say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun La ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sami'un Basir La ilaha illahum Wahid قدير محيط